This is the Ethanol Report, and today we're speaking with Jeff Cooper with the Renewable Fuels Association, and going to talk a little bit about the record, near-record corn crop that USDA is forecasting at 13 billion bushels. That's just shy of the 2007 record, and we're also looking at a record soybean crop. Jeff, what does this mean for ethanol and for those who challenge the use of corn to make fuel?
Well, Cindy, I think when you referenced the fact that this year's crop is essentially the same size as the record crop of 2007, that's hitting the nail right on the head. We're essentially within 80 million bushels of 2007's record crop. But what's important here is that it took 6.5 million acres less to produce that crop this year than it did 2 years ago in 2007. And obviously that's because we're looking at record corn yield per acre this year of 162 bushels per acre, which would be 8 bushels per acre more than last year and slightly higher than the record we saw in 2004. This is going to be, by all accounts, a huge crop. Maybe by the time it's in the bin, we will have a record. But it's taking less and less land to produce these monster crops.
And how does that challenge the indirect land use theory that we've heard so much about?
Well, certainly, we've been hearing much about land use change and the impact of expanding ethanol production on agriculture markets. And the theory is that as we increase our production of ethanol from grain to meet the requirements of the renewable fuel standard, that we're going to need massive amounts of new cropland to do that. Since cropland is somewhat constrained here in the United States, that much of the ripple impact of our RFS will be felt overseas, and there will be all kinds of new lands being brought into production. What today's report demonstrates very well is that we're not needing additional land to produce the incremental amounts of feedstock that we need as the ethanol industry grows. As I said, we're producing a crop this year that's going to be very close to 13 billion bushels, and we needed 6.5 million less acres to do it than we needed in 2007. So you're seeing acreage decrease year by year as yields increase and total production increases. So these are the facts. These are the numbers that come straight out of the field that dispute, I think, very, very much the theory of indirect land use change.
And it also shows with the this is increasing our stocks, and this means that we continue to have enough corn to serve our other needs besides ethanol, exports, and also livestock feed, right?
That's right. I think in addition to really dispelling the land use change theory, today's report also drives another nail in the coffin of the food versus fuel argument. And obviously that argument says, as we use more corn for ethanol, we're diverting it from other uses. We're taking corn out of the feed market and taking corn away from export. That isn't happening. If you look closely at today's report, USDA is projecting increases in both the amount of corn that we're feeding to livestock and the amount of corn that we're going to export. At 2.2 billion bushels of export, we're going to be very near record export levels again. I would admonish the critics of the corn and ethanol industries to really sit down and take a look at these numbers that USDA is putting out today.
And now today we're remembering the 9/11 terrorist attacks, and we're also opening a new ethanol plant in Minnesota. How does ethanol production tie in with our national security?
I think it's very interesting, Cindy, that we're having this conversation today on September 11th, and we've got a new crop report out that is highlighting the ability of American farmers to enhance the security of our fuel and food supplies. And we've also, as you mentioned, got a new ethanol plant opening in Lamberton, Minnesota today. I think American farmers and ethanol producers are certainly doing their part to enhance the security of this country and bolster our domestic fuel and food supplies, and the grand opening of High Water Ethanol in Lamberton today is just a good reminder of that on a day that's has particular meaning to Americans.
And it's also a boost for the ethanol industry because, unfortunately, we've seen more closings and openings this year. How do you feel about this? How this is going to impact, I'd say, the morale of the ethanol industry?
You know, if you've read the papers for the last 6 or 8 months, there's a lot of folks that had left the corn ethanol industry for dead. And, you know, a new plant opening today, and there's been a couple other openings here in the last 6 months, really shows that this industry isn't going anywhere. Things are improving in terms of economics for these plants. And I think this opening today reflects that economics and profit margins are turning around for the ethanol industry. And it really is, Cindy, a positive signal to the marketplace that ethanol is going to be here, and this is a strong industry that has a very solid foundation underneath it.
And we hear so much about the next generation, the cellulosic ethanol using different feedstocks, but why is corn ethanol and the continuation of production of ethanol from corn important to paving the way for those next generation feedstocks?
You know, corn is an excellent feedstock. There's no question about it. It flows well in and out of rail cars. You know, our infrastructure has years of experience in handling corn, and it converts very well into alcohol for fuel. So that's why the industry continues to build upon the solid foundation that corn has established. As witnessed by this plant opening in Lamberton today, we're going to continue to see new corn ethanol plants being built here in the next several years. It's important that the corn ethanol industry remains healthy and viable and serves as the foundation or the bridge, if you will, to the next generation of feedstocks. Really, the plants that are producing ethanol from corn today are going to be the same facilities that are producing ethanol from corn stalks or corn cobs in the future. It just makes sense on many levels to start the evolution toward cellulosic ethanol at the existing, 200 existing corn ethanol plants that we have in this country today.
And it's also important to point out that these corn ethanol plants that are going into production today, and even the ones that were existing, continue to get more and more efficient. We're often challenged by the efficiency of ethanol, but it keeps getting better.
That's absolutely right. And there's been, as you know, Cindy, lots of focus on the energy efficiency and greenhouse gas, you know, kind of carbon footprint of corn ethanol recently. And you don't have to study the ethanol industry very long to see just the tremendous leaps and bounds the industry has made in terms of efficiency. Just on average, the industry has reduced the amount of fossil energy it uses by about 25% just in the last 5 or 6 years. So we're using less BTUs per gallon at the ethanol plant. And then, at the farm level, we're using less BTUs per bushel of corn. And so the entire process from the farm level all the way until the ethanol is distributed to the retailer, the entire process is becoming more and more efficient each and every day. And we continue, we expect to see that continue well into the future.
Thank you very much, Jeff Cooper with the Renewable Fuels Association. I'm Cindy Zimmerman with the Ethanol Report.